If you have looked in your bulletin already at the sermon title, you know it's a little lengthy. Typically, I don't use quite that many words, but the title is Jesus, or God, is not looking for ways to keep people from heaven. And the reason this title is just a little long is because it's actually a quote, not original of me, but it's a quote from a lady called Kim Catola. Kim Catola is a lady that actually spoke at the Lakes Area Pregnancy Support Banquet right here in Brainerd Baxter this last spring. She wrote a book called Cradle My Heart. It's a good book. I think we might have a couple in the library. We have one at home. And if you get a chance, I would encourage you to read it. You see, it's at one point in Kim's life, she was walking this pathway called life. She was working on that successful career. She was actually in radio right here in the Twin Cities. And then she got promoted and she went on to Atlanta. And in the course of time, Kim found herself unmarried and pregnant. Well, you know, with a career happening and goals to achieve and so on, Kim says this openly in her speech, and she says openly in her book. She finds herself pregnant and just needed to do something about that, so she had an abortion. Some years later, Kim met the Lord Jesus Christ in a powerful way. She's very open about that. She's very candid about that. And He changed her. He transformed her. In the course of time, she was married and she had other children. But in the back of her mind was this haunting of what she'd done to baby number one. It kept haunting her. Long story shortened up, she gave it to the Lord, and the Lord helped heal her in time of that. But she wrote this book called Cradle My Heart. And in this book, you come to chapter 7, and the title is this: Can You Believe That Your Baby Is in Heaven? You see, she was asking herself that. God, what'd I do? And this chapter is dedicated to the fact of this statement that she made: God is not looking for ways to keep people from heaven. And so that whole chapter is based on that. And that's where I come up with this statement. And I wanted to use her statement this morning because I believe it's true. And so I wanted to share with us a few biblical examples this morning about where Jesus could have condemned and did not. And at the close of this morning, I want to challenge us with a question or two. And so, you might be thinking, well, Jim, that's obvious. That's obvious that God's not looking for ways to keep people from heaven. That's obvious. That should be obvious to all of us. But it's not, friends. It's not obvious to all of us. And the other thing that's not obvious at all is that hell is real. Society doesn't want to grasp that part of eternity. That's not obvious to us, that hell is real. And the Bible says it's hungry. And Jesus said many are on that road to destruction. So that these things are not always obvious. But I want us to remember today, friends, the heart of God is that none should perish. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9, 1 Timothy 2:4, they both say the same thing. God's heart is that none should perish. And when He means perish, it means be separated from Him eternally. God's heart is that none should perish. Nobody. He don't want nobody to go to hell. And so I want us to bear in mind that fact when I get to our questions towards the close. Sometimes we're not convinced of this statement, though, that God is not looking for ways to keep people from heaven. Kim writes in there, and she makes a very valid point. Sometimes we are told that, well, if we don't baptize our baby and it dies, it's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. Friends, that's not true. I can show you all kinds of scripture. It isn't, water that saves any of us. And sometimes we're told, in sometimes entire denominations, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to work your way, and you've got to say so many prayers, and you've got to visit so many people, and you've got to do this, or you're never going to make it. That's not how God operates. Bear in mind, He's not looking for ways to keep people out of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we're just duped into thinking by the devil himself that you're too nasty. God can't use you. There's people here that have told me that. I've felt too bad. The devil has whispered in my ear for too long, God doesn't even love you. But none of these lies are from the Lord, friends, because God has a plan to redeem humanity. And so let me very quickly give you three or four examples of where Jesus could have condemned. And it shows the heart of God. And then we'll get to our questions of challenge for the church at the close. We all know John 3:16, right? You know John 3:16? Nobody wants to raise their hand because you think I'm going to call on you, don't you? You think I'm going to say it then. We know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that. That's the heart of God. But do we know John 3:17? Because that's where I want us to look at first. But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Hallelujah. You see, we've got this powerful verse at John 3:16. We've got this powerful statement by Jesus about Almighty God. So He so loved us. He so loved humanity. He so loved the world. He provided us a way to Him through Jesus. And then in 17, He reminds us, He did not send His Son to condemn us, but that we might be saved. That's the purpose for the Son. Hallelujah. And so, as I said before, you see the heart of God, that none should perish. That's the heart of God. And so let me give us just a couple of examples briefly to show what I'm referring to. In John chapter 4, there's a story about Jesus taking a break at a well in Samaria. You remember the story? The woman at the well, we know it as. Now, if you think about that story, we don't have time to read through that. It's John, did I say John chapter 8? This is in John chapter 4. The other story is in John chapter 8. John chapter 4, this person maybe had broken a command or two. Safe to say? You know the story. I think most of you do. You know the story that says she'd been married 5 times and was now living with someone that wasn't her husband. And so when we think of that, Jesus had all kind of reasons to judge, didn't He? He had all kind of reasons to condemn. But is that what He did? Now, that's not what He did. He offered her hope. He offered her living water, which equals eternal life. He didn't condemn. You know what? I think the church folks would have. I think the church folks would have condemned. I think the Pharisees would have condemned. Pretty sure they would have. I think, left to their own thoughts, when the disciples got back from coming from town, picking up a few groceries, having some lunch, I think they would have condemned her. But not Jesus. Not the Master. Why? Because He's looking for creative ways to introduce people to Himself. In this case, it was water. And it bears repeating again, He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. In John chapter 8, there's another story. This one is the woman caught in adultery. I think you know the story. The townsfolks grab her, drag her down the street, toss her at the feet of the master. They grab up stones en route, and when they get there, they say to the master, the Mosaic law said to stone her. We've caught her in the very act. What do you say? Remember the story? Townsfolks were ready to condemn. Pharisees were ready to condemn. But not Jesus. He offered her grace, healing, forgiveness, and he said, go and sin no more. That's the heart of Jesus. Opportunities to condemn? Oh, he had them. I wonder sometimes about this guy called Peter that we admire and love so well. After denying him three times the night and the morning of his trial, remember that? Then the rooster crowed. What if God would have come back to Peter? What if Jesus would have come back to Peter and said, you know what? Sorry, pal. You denied my son three times. Check, your name just got wiped off the list. That's not the heart of God. Instead, Jesus come to Peter by way of the seashore sometime late in the Gospel of John and said, do you love me, Peter? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. He used this denier of him to become a pillar in the church. Or what about that guy on the cross? Remember those two? Either side of Jesus? Can pick up this story in Luke 23, 39 to 43. Let me read just a little bit of it because I think it's so powerful. Luke 23, 39 to 43. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed Jesus, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, on the other side of him, answered, rebuked the first one on the other side of Jesus, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. He got it. We're getting what we deserved. And he says to the other on the other side of Jesus, save us if that's who you are. He says to him, don't you know we're getting what we deserve? But Jesus didn't do anything. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I never thought about it till I was studying for this and reading this passage over and over. That's a pretty good little prayer. That's a pretty good little prayer. I don't know if you've used that prayer or not, but I'd encourage you to if you never have. Because here was a man on a cross dying. His time was running out. And he realized this guy hanging on the cross right beside him was in fact the Savior of the world, the Lord, the Son of God. And he said to him, Lord. You see, when we get to that point, friends, when we call him Lord, when we recognize he is really Lord, he's Lord of everything in our lives, it's a new day. And this guy said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that good? That's as good as it gets. Okay, so you get the point, right? You've got the point, right? This would mean yes, work with me. It's a nice, cool, refreshing morning. You're not drowsy yet. You get the point that the heart of God is that none should perish. I've just shown you some illustrations. There's a lot more we don't have time for. I want to meditate. I want you to think now on two questions. We get it. We get the heart of God, okay? He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody in hell. Will people go to hell? Yes. Well, why is that, you say, preacher? Because we have not found ourselves accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of me. We have to do it individually. We will be bound for hell if we do not recognize the importance of Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord. Surrender to Him as Lord. Okay, so we've got the point. God doesn't want anybody in hell. My question now for you people today, whether you make up this church, this physical church, you make up the church. If you are a born-again believer, you make up the church. You might go to a different church sometimes, but if you have trusted Christ as Lord, you are part of the church. The question is this, is the church today as concerned and passionate about going to heaven as Jesus is? Is the church, we make up the church. The church, by the way, friends, isn't just preachers. It isn't just Les, who pastored for decades, our brother Isaac, or Marie, or myself, or the next pastor, or the next. The church is the body of believers. If we have decided to follow Jesus, we are His bride. We are the church. And He commissions the church to go and tell the good news. And my question for the church today is, we know the heart of God. We know He doesn't want anybody going to hell. My question is, does the church have that same kind of passion? Does the church have that same kind of concern, not willing that anybody should be thrown into hell forever? Or, in the back of our minds, are we looking for excuses not to tell someone about the good news of Jesus? You say, Jim, what are you saying? Think about this for a moment. You might know somebody. You maybe were watching some TV or something and you saw somebody that's a mass murderer. Somebody that stole a teenage woman, or someone that stole a little boy, or someone that murdered a baby. And you might be thinking, you know what? I'm thinking they might deserve it. You see, sometimes that's how we think, even in the church. When God's heart is not willing that any should perish, sometimes our heart is saying, you know what? That pedophile, that homosexual, that murderer, that mass rapist, that mass murderer, you know what? I'm thinking they deserve it. Sometimes that's how we feel, even in the church. I know that it is. And yet the heart of God is that none should perish. The heart of God is that everybody should know Him. For God so loved the world. And that means all the dross, like me and us, that was in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but live. And I wonder sometimes, brothers and sisters, do we in the church have that kind of concern and that kind of passion for people right next door, right next to us in the assembly line? Our families, do we have that kind of passion and concern that we're not willing either that anybody should go to hell? I could tell you stories about murderers converted. We don't have time. Some of you have been around here long enough to have heard a story or two. Some of you have been around here long enough to hear transformed lives that used to be bound up in sex, immoral sex, sexuality. Some of you have been around here long enough to know that God has transformed all kinds of people. Praise be to God! And I just wonder sometimes, friends, if the church today cares like Jesus cares. Or in the back of our mind, we're thinking condemnation. We're thinking they deserve it. The woman at the well, we're thinking, you know what? Adulteress, she probably got it coming. Is that the way the church thinks? Or do we think like Jesus? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people around us that need Jesus. That's not a statement of judgment. That's a fact, because I told you last week what Jesus said in Matthew 5. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's a whole lot of people on it. There's a whole lot of people around you and I that are not ready for heaven if they close their eyes in death. You may be sitting here today. You've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That should concern the church. Amen? That should concern the church. If we are born again believers of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, people right beside us every day that do not know Jesus, the only time they speak about Him to use His name in vain or something else, it should concern us about their eternal destination. It concerns our Father in heaven. It should concern the church. And here's the other question. Will the church, whether it's in Motley Free Methodist Church or another church that perhaps you belong to or the next church down the street, but the church in general, will the church make it hard, in fact, for people around us to go to hell? I didn't come up with that statement either. An Assemblies pastor that's a church planter here in Minnesota said to a church plant one time, one place, right here in Minnesota, let's make it hard in our community for people to go to hell. How about we start thinking that way? I was listening to Luis Palau this week on Christian radio when I was driving someplace to do some visiting, and he said this, brothers and sisters, I didn't verify it, but it's coming from a pretty credible source. Luis Palau said, less than 5% of born-again believers today have led anybody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. That ain't very many. Now, I'm not saying everybody has the gift of evangelism. But I am saying, like Louis said, if you have been born again, you've got a story. Amen? If you have been born again, you have a story of transformation. You have a story of the grace of God. You have a story of the goodness of God. I was lost and now I'm found. Hallelujah. Maybe that's your whole story. But when you tell your story, people listen. And he encouraged people, write out your story. So the next time you encounter somebody hurting, you can say to them, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. That's your story. You'd be amazed at how God will use that. His Spirit will work on their minds. His Spirit will work on their hearts. And they may come right back to you and say, tell me how to know Jesus. It can happen. And so I just want to leave us with these two questions before we sing our closing song, brothers and sisters. Do we have the heart of God when it comes to people that might look different, act different, might have a past? Do we have the heart of God, or do we have the heart of man? And will we, in Motley Free Methodist Church or whatever church you come from today, will we be committed to make it hard for people around us to go to hell? We've prayed for them. We've loved them. We've shared tracts with them. There's always tracts here in the back. You say, Jim, I don't know what to say. Give them a tract. There's always tracts back here. There's always tracts back here that tell people the way to God and where will you spend eternity and just good stuff. And I just wonder, will we commit in the Motley Free Methodist Church or whatever church you belong to, more importantly, the body of Christ, will we commit to just making it hard for those people around us to go to hell? Because we've been praying for them and we've been telling them, we've been handing them a tract and inviting them to church. I just wonder if we'll commit to do that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure asking you to get serious with God because I know He's speaking to my heart and He's speaking to ours today. There's work to do, brothers and sisters. Eternity is at stake. Eternity is at stake. God is not willing that any should perish. Is the church the same way? Let's pray. Father, thank You that You have a heart of grace, of love, of mercy, and forgiveness. Thank You that You were willing to forgive me. Thank You for You were willing to forgive us. You were willing to extend Your hand of grace to us, and You're willing to extend it to every other person that will come too. God, I pray that you would instill within us, the church, a passion for those that don't know You like You have a passion for them. I pray that you would instill within us, Father, a passion that we're not willing either that any should perish. And we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to invite them to Christ and we're going to tell them our story and we're going to invite them to church or whatever comes to our mind, Father, to give them some tools to cry out to Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, forgive us. If Louis was right and there's less than 5% of born-again believers today that have shared and actually introduced anybody else to Christ, forgive us for that. That's a really low statistic. I pray, oh God, you would help us to be Spirit-led in all that we do this week. This week right before us, this day, that we would be filled with your Spirit and we would just want to tell somebody our story and allow you, by your Spirit, when we've planted, done a little watering, allow you to bring about that increase and bring that person to you by the saving grace that you have. Father, instill in us a heart that genuinely is burdened, as yours is burdened, for the lost. Help us not to be pride-filled, because we're of this church, but humble, because we've been saved by grace. We've been caught up in sin, lost, and when we met the Savior, it's a new day. Help us to be humbled by that. And not proud, because we know you. Father God, continue to speak to us this morning and this day, and help us to have your heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last hymn comes from your hymnal on page 528. 528. It's a little story that says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Friends, that's a fact. And while we're singing that song here today, if you're not sure, you know about God, but you're not sure, you've been born again, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, you've repented of your sin, if you're not sure of that, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pastor Isaac is right here. I'll be right here in the front row. Let us pray with you today. Make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've repented of your sin. You've cried out to Christ Jesus as Lord. We're going to have a baptism in 2 weeks. That'd be a good time to be baptized too. Let's stand together and sing.